reached the final level. The Spicy McNugget side mission. Maximum flavour, crispy crunch, and a spicy dip with a kick.
Are you ready?
Spicy McNuggets, for a limited time only. Until the 9th of September 25. Fees apply to delivery. Participation and price may vary. Subject to availability. Serving times apply.
I've ruled out uni because I want to live at home.
I've ruled out uni because I want to earn money.
I've ruled out uni because of my grades.
Study with the Open University and there's no need to rule out anything. With our respected degrees, you can learn from home and work alongside study. We're open to all. Plus, you'll have the support of expert tutors. So rethink your future with the degree you didn't think was possible. The Open University. The future is open.
You're listening to Peak to Pit, Allie Peak alongside TJ Pittinger talking about the national championship game. Got a little FSU talk coming your way. Did you watch the national championship game, TJ?
I did. I was dozing through some of it because
not that exciting.
Really wasn't that great of a game. I guess if you were a Baylor fan, it was a good game. Or if you just didn't want to see perfection, if you didn't want to see a team go, what, 32-0, 31-0. It was a good game. But, yeah, not necessarily the result or the outcome that we were expecting. Baylor kind of dominated from start to finish. Gonzaga made a couple of runs that felt like it would get close, would cut it to like 7 or 10 or 12, but never could get close enough to really matter. And Baylor kind of cruised to – I don't want to say easy, but kind of cruise to an easy victory, easier than we thought, maybe would be the best way to put that. But really played super well. This is the game that we were supposed to get earlier in the year and got canceled due to COVID. But it's always fun watching the highest level, watching a national championship and watching kids celebrate and be crowned and things like that. But
yeah,
what were your thoughts?
So I picked Gonzaga in my bracket to win. I started to get a little bit nervous watching the pregame. I feel like Gator fans will fully appreciate this, but all we kept hearing was how much Gonzaga was going to win by. And, you know, they talked about how this was going to be the first undefeated team to win a national championship since, I want to say, like, I don't know, 79. So I don't know, something UCLA team. Maybe it was late 60s, but like a really, really long time. Right. And multiple times, guys said things like, I don't want to be disrespectful to Baylor, but this is one of the best teams I've ever seen in my life. Or is this the best team of all time? Like, that was actually thrown out during the pregame. So I'm listening to this and it was reminding me of Florida, Ohio State in football in 2006. And somebody actually tweeted that later in the night, which was hilarious because that is exactly what I was thinking about when I was listening to the pregame. Like, not a single person sitting on that panel gave Baylor even an inkling of a chance. And I feel like that's always super dangerous. It really freaks me out whenever that happens. I actually was like, shoot, do I need to figure out how to change these bets? Like, what do I do here? How do I hedge them so that this is not going to be pretty. But it was boring. I mean, Baylor was so dominating that it wasn't even a good game.
It wasn't. And I mean, Baylor, as much as Gonzaga got credit, Baylor was a really, really good team too. Like, they only lost two games this year, one of them being to number 12 Kansas, and another one of those losses coming to, I'm trying to look up who that other one was, but I'm not that fast, so whatever, we'll just move on. But Baylor only lost twice this year and was a really, really good team.
Right.
And beat some really, really good teams as well, you know?
Sure.
They lost to Oklahoma State, who was number 5 at the time, in the Big 12 tournament, a game that obviously meant absolutely nothing once you get into the tournament, and then they lost to Kansas. But they had beaten an Illinois team that was number 2 heading into the tournament, also got a once. They had beaten some really, really good teams, and they were a good team. They also played, to go to the football side of things, they also played a much tougher schedule than Gonzaga did.
A much tougher schedule. And I think that that's, which also was giving me shades of football, because at the after the game was over, that was something some of the commentary was saying, was like, well, schedule matters. And had they played a tougher schedule, had they played in the same conference as Baylor, they may not have been undefeated. And it's true. Schedule matters.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, Gonzaga gets to play against a bunch of nobodies all year. And Gonzaga is good. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you know, they're talented. And they're the early favorite to win it all again next year. Right. But Baylor was, and I don't buy so much in, I just think Baylor was a better team. I don't buy so much into the like, oh, we were disrespected and that gave us extra motivation. I just think Baylor was better.
Right.
You know, I just think that they were more athletic. UCLA kind of gave a blueprint on how to challenge Gonzaga and how to beat them.
Right.
And Baylor executed it really well. They shot the lights out, you know, and started out hot and never really cooled off through the game. And so I thought it was entertaining, but it wasn't nearly as entertaining as that game was a few nights ago when when Gonzaga UCLA played. That was,
oh my goodness,
the game of the tournament. It was the game of the year in college basketball. Honestly, it's one of the best college basketball games I've ever seen. Like, I just can't.
So good.
It's recency bias, I understand, but like, I just really can't even remember a game that. I can't remember a game that like was so good by both teams for the entire length of the game. And it wasn't like both teams scored a bunch of points because the defense was terrible, but like they were just knocking down every shot. They were driving the basket, getting to the basket, throwing up like crazy, you know, floaters and everything else. UCLA really hung super strong, down by 5 against the number one team in the country with 40 seconds left to find a way to get back tied up in overtime and essentially do everything you could to force double overtime. And then a 40-foot prayer heave of a shot goes in, and Gonzaga moves on. But man, that game was so fantastic.
Oh my gosh, so good.
I had a hot take before we got off of here, and I'd love to get other people's opinions. I think that was the game of the year in any college athletics. Like, I think that was better. The football season is football season, and I enjoy it. But you think about like the big matchups that happened. The playoff wasn't fantastic. The college football national championship wasn't fantastic by any means. The what I'd probably put up close to it is the Florida Alabama SEC championship game, which was really good, but was never really closer than like a 2-score game until like the last minute. So that game was fantastic. But just very different. Whereas Bama had a huge lead. Florida came most of the way back, but just couldn't get over the hump. Right. This one was just an absolute pound for pound, blow for blow, incredible game that, you know, we waited a long time to get a buzzer beater in the tournament. There weren't a ton of them, especially not to win games. Obviously, you think about the Virginia Tech game against you guys. They hit a buzzer beater to force overtime, ended up losing. But the first buzzer beater to finish a game, to win a game, was late, but it was good. It was a fantastic game. So it makes me ready for college basketball to be back. I'm ready for football to be back first, but it does make me ready for college basketball.
Already ready for football to be back.
Well, we have some football news here in a minute. But before we get to that, you know who Sean Miller is? Sean Miller was a coach out of Arizona.
Yeah.
He's been there for a long time. I believe they went to a Final Four. Man, it's been several years now, 7-8 years. But they always have a really good program. He was let go. He was fired today. And would you believe that the Arizona 247 site, I don't know what it is. You guys is like Inside the Swamp. Ours is it's just Knowles 247. They're kind of boring over there. But would you believe that on the Arizona 247 site, Mike White is a name that is being tossed around on the coaching big board for them, for the Arizona
Dear
basketball
God,
job?
Please let that happen. That would be a gift. I don't know who watches Florida basketball the last 6 years that is like, you know who'd be a really, really good hire? Mike White. Like, unless you're literally like, I don't know, FAU or something like that. I don't understand how a program that is good at basketball that has, you know, deep tournament hopes goes after Mike White right now.
How upset would you be if he went there and they were good? Like, he made them good.
So I wouldn't be upset by that. Like, I don't have anything against Mike White as a person. I want our coaches, when they leave, unless, you know, they leave with some sort of bad blood or whatever, I want them to be successful. It doesn't appear to be working at Florida. So if it works for him somewhere else, that's awesome. But I don't think that because it worked at Arizona, that necessarily would mean that Florida should have just figured out a way to keep him and stick it out, that it's going to all of a sudden turn around here.
Yeah, that's a good take. I never want the guy that leaves to be successful afterwards, because then I always question, like, what if? Like, what if we'd have waited? What if we'd have done this? What if we'd done that? So, yeah, I'm also petty. So you're a nicer person than me. I don't know about that. You're a nicer person with regards to Mike White than I am. I don't know about that either.
I was going to say,
you're nicer in this one situation. I mean, I want him to stay at Florida for very obvious reasons.
Forever. Right.
So, anyway, yeah, I pulled up Arizona basketball. You know how bad they were? Never mind. I'm not going to say this. I'll just keep running going. I'll tell you once we get off. They were 17-9 this year. Not super, super good. 11-9 in conference. They finished out the year by losing to Oregon in their conference tournament. So it'd be interesting to see if Mike White ended up over there.
Honestly,
obviously, I have no clue. Like, that's just, I have no clue if that would really happen or not. But
yeah, I don't know.
Interesting to think about. You know, I mean, that's like, it's the equivalent of, you know, whoever you guys is 247, you know, Josh Newberg or whoever putting out a coaching big board. It doesn't mean that's like actually who Arizona's going after. But anyway, those guys seem to be interested, and I don't, you know, we'll kind of have to play that by ear. Hopefully not. Hopefully, I think he just needs a little more time in Gainesville. Speaking of football, something that one of us is going to enjoy this year and one of us will not, Florida State has their spring game this weekend.
Are you going?
I am. The weather is supposed to be terrible, and I don't mean to flex on too many people, but I don't really care because I'm sitting in the club again. So yeah, like I have a couple of buddies I'm going with, and we're sitting up in the Champions Club. And so,
do you know that I hate watching football in a box? Did I tell you that?
So yeah, I don't like it for like massive games, but I went and sat up there for like the Duke game and we won like 59-28 or something like that. Like, it was just, and I didn't care at all. But yeah, like, if I was going to the Florida State, I mean, I wouldn't say no to box seats for sure. But like, yeah, if I'm going to the Florida State game, like, I want to be down there close in the atmosphere experiencing it. But yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
I don't care who they play. It stresses, I might as well be in my living room, right? I mean,
for a spring game, though, like, come on, no stress here, right? Like, we just go up there for the free booze and stuff. Like, come on. There's some pros to the box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what are you looking for, though?
Hopefully they have some good bourbons up there. I don't know. They have a new catering company that is doing the food, so we'll see.
Last time they had some good food. About the quality of the football.
I know. I don't know. It's so hard. You know, I mean, we're in a rebuild. So there's no sugarcoating things or saying like, oh, we need to be better in this area or that area. I mean, just, you know, you hope that Mackenzie Milton looks like he is comfortable and not super injured, right? Like, I think that's the first biggest thing is, like, right, we're going to see him kind of live action, live bullets.
I'm
coming
really
at
interested
him
to see that.
So that's a big one. What does Jordan Travis look like? Apparently he's looked really good in having been in the system for a couple of years, as opposed to just coming in like Milton. They say he has a much better grasp and is running the offense better. It should be obvious, right? Like, that's not like a super like, oh, wow, Milton hadn't grasped the offense, you know, being there for 2 months as opposed to Travis has been there for 2.5 years. So I'm not like super shocked by that, but they said Jordan Travis actually looks a lot better too because he's fully healthy and was pretty banged up at times last year. What makes Travis so good though is how mobile he is. And I don't know that he can continue to do that and not just ended up getting banged up as it comes next year if he has to be the guy. If he's not the guy and he can just kind of come in essentially like Emery did and spot Trask, then I think he can be really, really effective. But if he's got to play the whole season because Milton's either hurt still or can't grasp the offense or whatever, I think Travis is going to end up getting hurt again, right? Like that's just kind of the style of I mean, he's going to take a billion hits. He's also playing behind an offensive line that's improving, but it still has a long way to go to be considered a good offensive line. And so you're taking hits not only from the amount of times you're running the ball, but you're also taking hits just because you're getting blindsided and rocked every time you drop back. So I don't know. Those two things, I mean, obviously the most important position on the field is quarterback. So how does Milton look? Does he look like he's pretty fluid? Does he look like he's moving well or not? How does Travis look? Has his throwing motion gotten a little bit better? Does he look good? Obviously, they're not going to let those guys take hits in this game, so not really too worried about that. But how does that look throughout the game? Offensive line, I mean, you're going to want to see it look better. Defensive line, they've said during spring, has looked really, really good, but the offensive line being bad obviously contributes to that. So how does the offensive line look? How do the skill – I mean, I'm going to obviously going through everything at this point, but how do the skill positions look? We lost some guys at some skill positions at wide receiver, running back. And so like what does that look like? But I don't know. I don't know how much you really gain, how much you really glean from this game because you don't really know how the coaches – I mean, obviously everything is so vanilla. You don't know what the coaches are looking for and trying to get set up and things like that. There's a lot of new guys that have transferred in. We've talked about the transfer portal. I feel like if you can hit on 50% of your transfers, you're doing really well. Less than that is typically the going rate of like what hits. Like if you brought in 5 transfers, usually 1 or 2 are going to be like really good.
Sure.
And then you got some depth guys. So like if you can hit on 3 or 4 of the 7 transfers you brought in, then I think you're doing really well. Jermaine Johnson out of Georgia is somebody that they've said it looks really, really good this spring. So I'd like to see him do well. The secondary is probably FSU's strongest position group. Linebacker is still a weakness. Defensive line is something that should be decent, right? So I'd say like the strongest position group for FSU is secondary. And then defensive line needs to really step up and continue to be good as well. You could have 4 Deion Sanders back there playing cornerback and safety. But if you can't get to the quarterback and right. He's got all day to throw, they just can't, you can't guard somebody forever, right? Like guys are eventually going to get open. So your secondary can only be as good as your defensive line is. The linebackers are not very good. That's why we're so bad against the run. The defensive line does their job of filling holes and plugging gaps, but the secondary is, I'm sorry, the linebackers have not been good for a while. So hopefully we did bring in a couple of transfers at defensive end and linebackers. So hopefully we can have some more depth there and improve that piece as well. The defense just has to get better. I mean, we couldn't stop anybody last year. So I don't know how much we will really glean from seeing the defense on Saturday, but those are like the big key areas that you know, you kind of want to see. Can the linebacker play look a little bit better? Can some of the transfers get in and look like they know what they're doing, not get like beat deep on or burnt on something crazy? Can the offensive line look a little bit more together? And how do the quarterbacks look, you know? So what am I looking for? Basically everything, right? Like we need every position group to get a little bit better. And if that happens, we may go from, you know, what we go 3 wins. So like an average of 4, we may go from 4 wins to 6 wins or 7 wins, you know? So if not, you know, if every position group can take an incremental step forward, then maybe you increase by a couple of wins. If not, you know, you probably increase.
I feel like Mackenzie Milton at least is a couple wins, right?
If he, yeah, like, and that's my.
I mean, the quarterback play has to be drastically better, I think.
You would think so, right? Like the only way that it's not is if he's not healthy, you know, right? Because then you throw Travis in there. And I will say Florida State starts the year with a fairly, I mean, we'll do a a full schedule thing as we go. But Florida starts the year with a pretty favorable-ish schedule. They're going to take a loss week one to Notre Dame. But after that, they get Jacksonville State, at Wake Forest, Louisville, Syracuse, North Carolina, that's a tough one, and then UMass, right? So of their first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games, I would say one is a sure loss, like Notre Dame's a loss.
Right.
And they could win any of the next 6 of those games. In fact, UMass and Jacksonville State, they will win. So there's 2 sure wins. Syracuse, as bad as Florida State was last year, Syracuse was absolutely god-awful, lost every ACC game they played, got blown out by Liberty. So that should be another win as well. So you've got 3 wins there. And then let's say you can find a way to split with Wake Forest and Louisville. Then you're looking at 4 wins, lose to North Carolina, and you go 4-3 in your first couple. You know, so I think that starts out well. What's tough is that the back end of the schedule is Clemson, NC State, Miami, Boston College, and Florida. So you're looking at 3 definite losses there. And can you win one of those 2 last couple? Can you find a way to get to 6 wins? So it starts out pretty easy. Again, the Notre Dame game is tough on a Sunday night. Thankfully, that is in Doak. But then you get to really go out and just beat the heck out of Jacksonville State and getting ready for Wake Forest. And none of these ACC teams are world beaters outside of, you know, the Clemson and Notre Dame games. So we'll see if Mackenzie Milton – see, last year Florida State was so bad that – and the quarterback play was so bad that that was the difference in a lot of games is – every game truly was just a coin flip because of such bad quarterback play. Well, if you have the best player on the field and he is also the quarterback in most games, that's going to put you over the top against the teams like Syracuse and Boston College and Wake Forest and things like that. I don't think it does enough to, you know, put you over the top to beat Miami or Clemson or Florida or Notre Dame, but I think it kind of keeps you in every other game because you're not getting down by 21 points and knowing that you're running the option with Jordan Travis every play, right? Like you have a guy that can come out and kind of throw the ball around and keep you in game. So yeah, I think Milton, if healthy, probably accounts for 2 more wins than we would have had without him. I mean, I think a successful season for Florida State would be to double their win total. It would be to go from 3 wins last year. Obviously with the pandemic, there would have been a couple more games in there. You know, we lost the Clemson and Florida games, which would have been losses, but they also took Syracuse off our schedule, which would have been a win. They took Wake Forest off our schedule, who wasn't very good either. That would have been a home game. So anyway, there were pros and cons to the schedule being rearranged. There were, you know, probably 2 losses given and 2 losses taken away. So, you know, if you could find a way to get to 6 wins and then, you know, you'd play a bowl game that, against a team that you would be severely more talented than, you know, you'd play a bowl game against, you know, your bottom tier teams that, you know, went like you'd play a bowl game against a team like, I don't know, I don't even want to predict it, but like somebody that's not very good. So you'd have a chance to get to 7 wins. And I think if they could do that, then they can hold on to some of the recruiting class they've got. If they could somehow, and I'm not predicting this, find a way to get to 7 wins in season and then get that 8th win in the bowl game, then I think that'd be an incredible season. Cause I said, you've got you've almost got 4 guaranteed losses. Even if you said like Florida, Notre Dame, and Clemson are 3 guaranteed losses. And what I will say is coming out of the 2017 year when Florida State went into Florida and beat up Florida pretty good, coming back around in that 2018 year to start that year, we would have said that Florida State was going to beat Florida again that year. So a lot can change in a year. Like we could get to November this year and like the Emory thing just doesn't work out and Florida's not very good and Florida State could just be absolutely shining with Milton and be really good. All of that's possible. I'm not predicting that, but like if you're looking at it as of today, it doesn't seem likely that Florida State would beat Florida. Could things change by the time we get there? Yeah, because that 2018 year, when we started that year, I mean, I would have bet you anything that we were going to beat Florida. I mean, we'd won 5 in a row. Even in being bad the year before that, we still blew you guys. Like it wasn't, you know, I think we ended up winning by 16, but the game wasn't competitive at all. You know, so you would think that you think that Florida's going to beat us again, especially being in Gainesville, but weird things happen, you know. So, but if you said you got guaranteed losses against Notre Dame, Clemson, and Florida, at best, I think you split with North Carolina and Miami. You might lose both those games, but at best, you split with North Carolina and Miami. If you lose both those games, the best you can do is 7-5, right? And so that's saying that you're not going to lose any other games the rest of the way. That's really tough to, you know, because everybody loses a game they're not supposed to, except for Alabama, right?
Right.
Florida lost a game they weren't supposed to this year. Probably lost two they weren't supposed to. Georgia lost a game they weren't. Everyone loses games they are not supposed to. And so that would be my concern, is that if we lose those five games, we probably drop one more to go 6-6 or two more to go 5-7. So I don't know. It's going to be tough, but I do think Milton probably gives. It's a long-winded way of saying I do think Milton gives us a couple more wins.
It's a long-winded way of saying you agree with me?
I'm not saying that. Some wild news. And I don't really have a ton of takes on this, but some wild news. Did you see the Travis Rudolph news this morning?
Yeah.
Like, is that the craziest thing?
I mean, I root for a fan base that also has Aaron Hernandez in it. So maybe not the most wild, but I feel like I at least had an inclination that Aaron Hernandez wasn't the best guy in the world. I never got those vibes from Travis Rudolph. Now, I won't sit here and say that I know a whole lot about him off the field at all, but I feel like, you know, all of us that are not Florida State fans probably remember him best from a picture that circulated of him eating with a kid with autism at a middle school. I think him and some other FSU players had gone to the school to volunteer. And I think the story was that Rudolph had seen this kid eating by himself. So he got a lunch and went and sat with him too. And somebody took the picture to send it to the kid's mom. And I think the kid's mom then put it on Facebook is the way that, you know, this story went or whatever. And she was so touched. And, they were even on like Fox and Friends together. And he always came across as just such a nice, genuine guy. Charges against him are bad. I mean, he's got a murder charge. Somebody was killed, obviously, murder charge. And then somebody else is taken to the hospital to be treated for injuries. He shot them. So he's got an attempted murder charge there. I think there's actually two other people who he shot on and missed. Or allegedly, obviously. And so I think there's multiple attempted murder charges that he's currently being held for. And I just, you know, he played for the Giants after FSU, and then he was actually signed with the CFL. I want to say the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who Eric played for at one point. But they've since let him go. But I don't know. The whole thing is just horrific and sad, and I don't want it to be true. I don't have a whole lot of takes on this either, outside of the fact that obviously we feel horrendous for the victims' families, and I still don't want this to be true.
Yeah, it would be obviously fantastic if there was any way that this could not have been true. What is true is that you obviously don't know what provoked it, right? So there's obviously different rumors that run around with that, and I'm sure.
Have you heard anything, any kind of rumors about it? I haven't heard anything yet.
I've heard a couple of things. I don't really want to say them on air, but I, you know, sorry for the tease there. But I have heard a couple of rumors. I've heard some things. What is true, though, is that somebody has passed, and so that's incredibly sad. Somebody else was shot and injured, and that's incredibly sad. You know, other people were around and shot at. Or at least people they know were shot and killed, right? Yeah. And so, incredibly sad. And then, yeah, like you said, I mean,
and I'm not gonna. And if it is true, he's gonna be gone away for the rest of his life, and that's incredibly sad.
Yeah, it's absolutely awful. And again, not that it. Yeah, I don't want to. There are people that have died, or there's someone dead in this situation, so I don't want to give too much. Like, oh, poor Travis, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Until we hear the facts. Like, let's kind of hear what ends up happening with it. But, man, like you said, just somebody that you wouldn't have expected. Maybe with Hernandez, you're not super shocked that some things went down. Like we talked about off air. We talked about Kellen Winslow Jr. I mean, he always seemed like a psychopath, you know, like he was in and out of trouble and stuff.
Not as surprised when you hear about.
But. Yeah, but this one, man, this we just had him on the FSU pod. Several months ago, and we asked him about what he gets asked about all the time, and that's going to the school and you know, being a really good guy to that kid and making that kid's life, you know, like make, you know, that kid sat by himself, was autistic. Nobody wanted to be his friend. Like imagine, like I would get goosebumps if like an FSU player came and sat by me, like while I was at like Chick-fil-A in the mall or something, let alone like, you know, if I don't have any buddies or any friends or anything. Like, so like makes this kid's life. We all, you know, it ends up on SportsCenter, you know, and that was like during the time that like all the Jameis stuff had gone down and all the, you know, Dalvin Cook had his like run-ins with the law and there were other things happening and stuff. And so it was like, oh man, a bright, not that it's the only reason like Travis did it or anything, but like, man, a bright spot for FSU. Like we're finally the center of a media storm. That's like a good thing, you know? And so FSU fan, like he was just an absolute like shining star hero to FSU fans. And I remember his big plays. I was standing on the sideline next to Peter Warwick when he made an absolute ridiculous catch in play. And I leaned over to Peter Warwick and I said, that play reminded me of you. And he laughed and chuckled. And so I remember those things too. But like, yeah, you're right. What he was remembered for, not only by non-FSU fans, but like if somebody would have said Travis Rudolph, like what everyone remembered was not what he did on the field. It was being a hero to that kid. And so, yeah, just super shocking news, super troubling news. And, you know, it's like you just hope that somehow it comes out that, you know, he's got four counts of premeditated, one premeditated murder and three premeditated attempted murder. You know, usually most DAs and stuff are going to overcharge. I don't want to speculate too hard on stuff, but hopefully there's some overcharging there. Hopefully things come down and hopefully it's just not. Hopefully something comes to light where it's not as bad as it seems. Yeah. But what is as bad as it seems is no matter what caused it or provoked it, somebody's dead, you know? And so it's frustrating. It's upsetting to hear. And, you know, I don't know. I don't have a lot of takes or thoughts outside of it too. It's so new. It just came out today. But prayers up to the family and everybody involved. You know, he's got a family. I don't remember. I don't know if he necessarily has any kids or anything like that. I just don't know or remember. But
I don't know. I did read that his dad died in Palm Beach County gunfire in 2017. It was an accidental shooting. Somebody accidentally discharged a gun in a club and it went through a wall. His dad was like the repairman for the club. Went through a wall, shot him in the back, went through his back and he died. I don't know. It's so sad. It's so sad for so many reasons.
For sure. So frustrating and sad and just there's really not a lot of ways to go with the pod outside of that. So we'll just move on. Not such sad news. Bobby Valentin today was presented with the inaugural Governor's Medal of Freedom. This is the highest civilian award that a governor can give. So presented that by Ron DeSantis today at the Capitol. So that was cool. Bobby Valentin, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't like UF and I don't like you guys to win or do well, but like, I love Steve Spurrier. Like I have no complaints about Steve Spurrier and stuff. And I feel like Bobby's probably most of the way the same. Like I don't, you know, obviously you didn't want him to beat you when he was playing, but like, you don't have too many bad things to say about Coach Valentin. Cause I'll just drive to your house right now. I'll drive right to where you are and come fight you.
I interviewed him when I first started out in radio and, it was supposed to be like a 15-minute interview, but I was doing a 3-hour show. He talked to me for an hour and a half. Every time we went to commercial, that man said, oh, I'll just wait. And then came back on and talked to us. Literally spent an hour and a half of live radio talking to me when he was supposed to be a 15-minute interview. He was the best. And you know what's so funny? He remembered my dad from recruiting.
That's incredible.
But not only did he remember my dad, but he asked me if I was related to Skipper Peak when I told him my name, first and foremost. I didn't have to say, hey, you know, you recruited my dad in the 70s. He said, Allie Peak, huh? Are you related to Skipper Peak? Which, like, how many freaking people has he recruited, you know,
thousands.
Since then? I mean, insanity. Mine like a steel trap.
Yeah, no, when people talk about, you know, the GOATs and just absolute legends. I mean, it was cool to see him get that award, the first one ever. Some good Florida State news after the after the unfortunate Florida State news that came out today. But yeah, cool honor for Coach Bowden. I think, and Richie tweeted this from the other pod account, but it's time for the NCAA to do the right thing and give Coach Bowden his wins back before he passes away, because he's like 91 years old. Like,
yeah,
at this point, the online cheating test wins that you took away are irrelevant because Penn State has all of their wins. So please with the bullcrap NCAA. Yeah. Like,
I am here for that. I will, as a Gator fan, will fully support that.
I also think the concept of taking wins away is the dumbest. Like, we were there. We were there at the game. We saw what happened. Like, taking the win away is stupid. Now, like, if there was like a legitimate, like, especially when it's for off the field stuff. Like, if somebody like cheated, I don't know, like they played a player that was ineligible or something, right, you know, like, and it made a big difference or whatever, you know, like, then I'd say like, yeah, you cheated to win the game, like take it away. But that'd be like a one-off, like, you know, hey, you had some guys that got extra help on a study course and they cheated on a test. Oh, you got to take those wins away. It's like, come on. Like, that's so dumb, especially years later. So I'm all for the NCAA giving some wins back. They'll probably do it right after he dies, and it'll be like,
so annoying though,
dude. Like, why would you not? Yeah, why would you not do this the right way when he was alive? You know. So, I think that's it. I think. I'll mention this and then we'll go. But it seems like the Bucks are bringing everybody back.
That seems like they re-signed all 22 starters, which is the first time that's happened, I want to say, since the merger.
Pretty insane. And then I saw the post you shared on Instagram. Did you see who commented on it?
No.
Antonio Brown commented on it and said, sign AB. Like, sign me back.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He's totally like the meme that you see of like, you know, Squidward or whoever, like looking out and seeing like Patrick and SpongeBob playing. Yeah. And he's like, those are all my buddies. I want to go back and play.
I'm okay with it. Tom Brady kept him in line. I'm good with it. Sign him back.
Yeah. The only thing is like, if he'll take like the hometown discount, everybody's right, taking the hometown discount. Like, right, we're not overpaying for AB on this because we don't need him.
Why Tom Brady was successful in New England, right? Because he was willing to take less so that there could be more talent around him. And I think that's part of what makes this team successful. That's part of what made his team successful in the past. And I think that's something that maybe some of these other teams could, you know, take a note from, right? Do you want to win or do you want to be paid the most?
Yeah.
Getting paid the most is where it's at. But I think that a lot of true competitors want to win.
Yeah. I have absolutely no problem with, either way of that, right? Like Tim Duncan always used to play for like absolutely nothing, like $10 million a year or something insane.
Oh yeah,
and they stayed competitive. Change. And guys like, I mean, LeBron has never taken less money. Like, he's always gotten the supermax. Kobe never, as bad as the Lakers got, like at the end of Kobe's career, he never took less money. He basically said like, no, wow, I've worked my butt off. Like, I deserve the most.
Yeah,
understood. That like they weren't going to be as competitive, but that's what he said. Like, no, if you worked at Microsoft, would you say, hey, pay me less so we can be a more successful company? No, you're there to be. So like, I'm totally fine with either one of them. But as much as I love Kobe, like, and this isn't like my turn to slam him or anything, the guys that do take less so their teams can win, like, it almost always pays off. Like, right? Because they win.
Right.
So it's cool to see him.
And when you do win, you make up for what you didn't get in that contract and all those endorsements that come your way and, you know,
heavy bonus stuff. Yeah.
Yes. There's a way to make it up. But I thought it was really cocky too, that post that I shared, because the Bucks said something about, we're going back to back.
And yeah,
I mean, they've been saying that a lot. They are all in on the fact that they're repeating. Like, there is no like, shh, let's not talk about it. Like, you know, there's a chance, but nobody jinx it. They're like, oh no, we're going back to back, which I kind of love. I'm not going to lie. Tom Brady is way more fun than New England Tom Brady.
100%. I mean, Tampa Bay, everything is more fun than New England. Like, what is like, come on. So, no, I like it. I like I mean, because the worst case, they lose and then people just move on. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Super Bowl happens and then,
chance of repeating is probably with the exact team they had, right? And obviously it's a rarity for this to happen because most of these guys get these huge egos and go take more money somewhere else. because they can. And you can't blame them for that, you know, when that happens. But that is what happens most of the time. That's why it is so rare that they've re-signed all 22. And I mean, nobody retired either, which also they're probably, since the average career is like 2.5 years, that has to be somewhat remarkable as well, that nobody is also hanging it up. But that makes me think they've all bought in so hard to what Tom Brady is selling there about the team mentality, which is interesting.
Well, the big thing is, like, you know, you're delaying those big paydays by like maybe 1 year,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
with a great chance to go and win. Like, the favorites right now for next year are the Bucks again, Kansas City, who's probably going to be there again. Right. Buffalo will be really good again. Green Bay will be really good again. And then like your outside chance teams, like, you know, the Ravens always show up, like, you know, the Saints are always good. So like, you know, you've got like, but like, it's going to be one of those. So you've got like a decent chance to come back and win it anyway. And so like, you just delay the, you delay the big payday, because unless one of those guys gets like super injured or something, like they can go somewhere else the year after, right? Like if they sign up 1 year. So yeah, like, I mean, I'm all for it, you know? So, I just hate that it's this far. It's so far away, but I mean, it's April now. The Masters is this weekend. We didn't talk about the Masters, but that's fine. The Masters is this weekend. And then, like 2 weekends after that, it's the Kentucky Derby. And then we will be into NHL and NBA playoffs. Shout out the Lakers who won here in Tampa last night. We'll be into the playoffs. That'll take us through June. And then it'll be hot dog eating contest. And then preseason will start the next month. So it's going to go quick. I hope so.
You know, so this is what, it's April, right? Which means it's basically summer. My kids have like 7 weeks left of school, which means it's basically fall, right? We're almost to fall.
Yeah, we are. We've almost made it. I mean, it's like 4 months away, but we've almost made it.
We got a little gift of a COVID gift pushing everything back a little bit this year. So we don't have to wait quite as long as we did the year before, or even just as much as we do on a normal year. So that's a little COVID parting gift for us.
Can you, do you have our tickets to the Alabama UF game yet? Or like, what's the situation here?
I have four tickets to Florida, Alabama. I don't know if I'm putting an FSU butt in the stands for that game, but
It won't be an FSU butt.
Will you wear a Gator polo?
No, it'll be an Alabama butt that game.
Oh, well, no, that's for sure.
I would wear a Peak to Pit shirt with the old logo on it.
Okay. Well, the old logo. Perfect. Great.
The King of the Hill logo. I'll wear a Hayden and Hadley and Alexander and Emerson Are My Heroes shirt. How's that?
We'll talk about that. But we do have four tickets to that.
They better be in a box.
There are season tickets. This is our first year with our four season tickets. So we picked where they are, and I want to say they're like on the 25-yard line, like 20 rows up or something like that. We picked our spot, but we have not actually sat in these seats yet. So this will be the first time. We were supposed to have season tickets last year as our first time, and then they got rid of season tickets because of COVID, but we're expecting a full stadium, so I'm excited.
Well, you can mark us down. We're in. We'll be there with you. We'll make Kara drive, and
I'm not doing that to Kara.
She can drive. It's like 2 hours. I didn't make a deal. She can drive. I'll pay for the liquor. You guys have the tickets. So like, we're good to go.
It's gonna be fun. It's actually my birthday too.
The day of the game?
Actually, I think the game's the 18th. My birthday is the 17th, but
She'll be good and hungover for that one. Hopefully. Well, yeah, it'll be a night game. So I don't know why I was gonna say
it'll be a night game, and I doubt I will be hungover.
You'll have recovered by 8 p.m. But like, we'll have you at White Buffalo the night before and you'll be hungover. It'll be fine. All right, cool. Do you have anything else before we get out of here?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, we will be back next week and see if we can offend you guys with something else. So tune in and check it out.